You, the members of the Golden Tree Guild, find yourselves weightless. Your ears are still filled with the sound of voices craving violence and war. But unfortunately, your ears are also not picking up the sound that matters most. That of the engines of the Skystalker. All across the ship, on its decks and underneath, you are all spread out, and you are besieged by strange, worm-like first ones. And you are in the middle of an arcane storm. A voice calls out amongst the din of battle. Crew, grab a rail. Brace for a dive or die in the dirt like worms. Those of you who are still on the deck see Captain Silvertooth Livingstone, still at the helm, start to strap himself in with a variety of different chains and buckles that are all around the wheel. And then your sense of the world turns and you descend. How do you all react in this moment?
Checkers! I thought you said you knew how to fly this thing! As Kaskarin is just like tumbling in his little mummy sleeping jacket, his sleeping yes. bag, and he is like rolling to the back of the ship until he finally hits the cabin door, and he's just like in there as the gravity and the wind begin to push him against this vertical surface.
Self in this, again, this jet black now gi with these silver dragons that just a moment before were chasing each other and flying all along his gi, now seem to have a slightly different look as they are latched on and holding on to the chest of his gi for dear life. And Selv is, I guess, technically falling. So I'm going to kind of move as I can using the Leaf on the Wind ability, which is essentially a modified version of the slow fall for Selv. And Selv is going to glide his way towards some of the ropes that are hanging there from the mast for the sails and wrap his arms around them and kind of get, and then lock his leg around one of the other ropes that are coiled up on the ground, and then look around to see how everybody else is doing.
Checkers is hanging on with one hand to one of the straps attached to Captain Livingstone. He's got one hand on his head holding the large brimmed hat, and this gown is just trailing behind him in the wind. And I'm going to look over to Mango at my side, who is just like gripping the deck for dear life.
Canonically large Mango, yes. As I recall.
He is going to go down to a normal size. And I'm going to summon Billiam, the flying butterfly frog, and just quickly loop a rope around him. Billiam, Mango, go find my dear daughter Violet. Keep her safe. And Billiam and Mango are going to like crawl and fly their way into the cabin to try and find Checker's dear daughter.
We'll have to unpack that at yes. a later time. Val, you alone made it underneath the deck down into the engine room of the Skystalker. You gave it your best shot to jumpstart the frozen fire elemental serving as the engine essentially of this ship, weren't able to quite do it or do it in time. You too feel a falling sensation, and you too remain clothed in whatever your ideal perfect outfit is, which we did not describe last time.
I mean, the camera doesn't see it now because mm-hmm. Val, knowing that she is falling, has tried to find a way to cushion it as much as possible. So she has climbed into the giant container full of charcoal that feeds the fire elemental in hopes of it creating some type of like weird
like
peanut
a ball
bubble
pit.
Yeah,
yeah, got
around
it.
Her. But you just see this blue aura of vitality emanating out from around it. So it's looking real weird in the engine room right now.
A really healthy coal right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know what I should do as I'm falling? Climb into this pile of rocks.
Hey, it's better than slamming into all of the tools that are in the engine room.
The Sky Stalker falls through the storm. Your field of vision is still filled with flashes of strange eldritch lightning, and you descend and descend until, for a moment, it opens into the empty, clear night sky of Rixia that you saw not but a few minutes ago. But the worms and the storm follow you down. Now your ears fill with whistling wind. For those of you who are on the outside of the ship, you are starting to feel like it is hard to breathe. For those of you on the inside of the ship, no matter how deep into the coal you have climbed, you are starting to get thrown around. Those of you who are still on the deck, as you try to keep your eyes open against the wind, see that the front point of the ship, sparks start to shoot out and around the ship. And then, like a match striking, swirls of pink clouds start to envelop the ship, and you feel control slightly come back. You regain some of your weightiness. Instead of going straight down, you start to angle the nose up ever so slightly. You hear Captain Livingstone just groan and grunt and scream as he tries desperately to haul the wheel back. Then you all experience a crash, a thud, the sounds of rocks falling, and darkness. Before we proceed any further, I know we have at least probably one party member who would be interested in enacting some sort of abilities, spells, etc., to prevent, well, I'll be honest with you, the large amount of damage that is collectively coming your way. Does anyone do anything? Can anyone do anything aside again from the monk who is already immediately, as soon as things started going in a southerly direction, said, "Featherfall, please."
Just to clarify, so have we hit the ground or are we still falling?
You have hit the ground.
Okay.
In describing things, but I'm asking in those last final seconds, what do you do?
Jump. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, so this is like, how do we save ourselves? Okay, got it.
Yes, precisely.
Does Val cast Banishment on herself right at the last second?
Ooh, that's interesting.
A spicy choice.
Yeah,
spicy
choice. Yeah, it's not a bad choice.
It's not the worst idea.
So, Checkers, I have three things.
You have three guys.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
I've been thinking about falling out of the sky for a very long time, so I have this whole thing prepared.
There's a flow chart and everything.
Yeah.
There's an org chart. Yep.
Right.
Love a prepared player.
Yep. So, Billiam has been summoned to go throughout the ship and find some of the crew members. And what I want him to do is, you know, he's got this big rope on him, and ideally I want some of the Tims and Joes to latch onto the rope as Billiam flies them away from the airship as it lands. So just trying to protect some of them. Mango's going to make his way to the engine room and just wrap his tongue around Valeska in the coal chute and just give you a big old frog hug. And then he's also going to expand his size as much as he can to fill up the remaining space in the room and just wedge himself into the engine room with a soft Valeska center.
Great. I accept.
And then Checkers, right before impact, is going to use the Mantle of Still Waters to summon a pool of water kind of vaguely in front of him. And it's going to just hug him forward, hopefully shifting the momentum and the direction of his fall enough to kind of break it a little bit so he's not just hitting the ground.
Okay.
So you're like slingshotting yourself forward?
A little bit.
Kaskrin is like pinned to the back of this wall as we've been falling, and he's like struggling to get out of this bag, and he sees Selv kind of like flying over there, and he yells to him, Selv, come help me.
My plan is Selv.
Please.
Put yourself in danger. Get over here. There are worse plans.
Selv is plan A.
Yeah.
Kaskrin knows, however, that he is far too heavy to be held, especially by a flying Selv. And so he is going to cast a spell on himself. And then all of a sudden, Selv, you see the cocoon shrink and shrink and shrink until you see just this tiny little cocoon. It's like, Selv, come get me! I'm over here! So when I cast Reduce on myself, my size is reduced by half. And my weight is reduced by 1/8.
Okay, I can work with that. So I will glide my way as quickly as I can over towards Cass's, grab him, and then kind of jump off the side of the ship, and I will move us hopefully away from what could possibly be the blast radius of a ship upon impact.
Do you do anything additional, Sophie? Are you trusting in the airbag quality of Frog?
I trust Mango with my life, and I will prove it in this moment.
Boy, will you. All right. We are all about to roll a dexterity saving throw. Sophie, Val will be rolling this check with advantage, in that you have
a mango
cushion. Checkers, you will also have advantage because of your... awkward momentum. Actually, I will also... because he is essentially granting her advantage. Do I want to be nice to Mango?
You always want to be nice to
Mango. Always want to be nice to Mango.
I'll give it Mango advantage as well.
Hey.
In his saving throw. Selv, before we continue, I am going to ask you to make me a sleight of hand check to successfully grab Kaskrin Brightmane.
Why would you do this?
If you succeed...
Kaskrin lives. Great. Wow.
Kaskrin lives. If you do not succeed, you'll be fine. So, no pressure for you.
All right.
You just roll a d6. And it's like, whatever.
Oops. What?
All right. Well, good news is, sleight of hand is okay. +4. That is a total of 15.
Whew.
That is enough.
Okay, good. Yes.
Kaskrin.
Even in a tiny size, he's very easy to see with the bright fluorescent colors of his sleeping bag. So
very true. Kaskrin, you are scooped.
Yes, nice.
The rest of you, and by that I mean the frogs, the Val, and the crew, we're going to make some dexterity saving throws, please.
13 for Mango, 16 for Checkers.
Okay.
17 for Val.
16 was the number.
My boy.
Kaskrin and Selv, you take no damage.
Hey.
Everyone else takes half or full damage.
Yep.
I'm about to roll 66.
Ooh. I don't like this.
19 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Halved for everyone else. Unfortunately, everyone who is not actively feather falling takes an additional 10 points of bludgeoning damage. Because you all hit the ground, and that hurts quite a bit. It's just that I don't know that you were expecting the second fall and second hit. There's a cacophony of noise. crunching, grinding, shouts of surprise, of pain, of any number of other human emotions. And again, you guys find yourself in darkness, and it is not night sky darkness. It is underground darkness. Those of you who are on the deck, especially those of you who have been feather falling, would even be able to look up and see a small portion of the night sky in addition to the arcane storm circling above you through the hole in the ground that you all have just created. And around you is a large cavern system that you have broken into with the weight of an airship.
Cool. Was this on the random encounter table?
I will say nothing.
I would like to roll for concentration.
Same.
Go ahead. And that's two rolls, in fact, as well.
Checkers fails the concentration check, and as soon as we plummet and hit the ground, Billiam disappears into the ether.
Aura of Vitality is still up. There is still a glowing radius enveloping a mango and
I was gonna say.
And a Val that cannot be seen because she is in the mango.
Being too hugged too tight, yeah. Yes.
I will say, Mango begins to deflate immediately. He has taken a lot of damage.
Action! 2d6 plus 6.
As you collect yourselves, and as the two other guilders descend from the heavens, down into this hidden cavern system, you hear, in the silence,
engine room! Engine room! Is there anyone down there?
Yes, Captain! I'm here!
What's the status?
Anyone who's up on the deck sees Captain Livingstone is just like clinging to the helm and is holding his side, probably already has some broken ribs, and has a roguish bit of blood trickling from one corner of his mouth.
The dome is covered in ice. There's barely a glow in the fog and the steam. I'm trying to revive the elemental.
Do you think you can do it?
I'll throw everything I have at it.
Then we'll throw everything we can to buying you the time you need to do it.
And he, like, shrugs off, like, these chains and straps and looks around at the other people who are up on the deck.
And he nods to them. You all right, still in one piece?
All good.
And Caskrin kind of comes back into his full shape. He's like, actually, yeah, thanks, Elf.
Checker's hat has long flown away. And he's clinging to Captain Livingstone with both hands now. And he pulls out a potion of greater healing and hands it to the captain.
Are you ready, Captain?
As Checkers looks up into the sky and sees the horde, the swarm of giant worms on a collision course with the Sky Stalker.
Captain Livingstone's eyes follow yours up, Checkers. Like you said, the worms and the storm are following you down. Captain Livingstone puts the bottle up to his mouth, tears out the cork with his teeth, drinks it in one sip, and kind of shakes a little bit with new vitality, and is like,
all right.
And he strides over back to the helm, and he grabs something that you guys have probably seen him use a few times now, kind of a funnel almost. And you know that this is a communication system that goes throughout the ship. Flicks a switch, says,
all right, crew, I don't know who's still up. Do what you can to get the ship skyworthy. I'll be above deck with the golden tree, defending our ship and defending our crew.
And you hear a couple of, like, very weak, strained, yeah, as we all roll for initiative.
Checkers with a 22.
Kaskrin with an 18.
Selv with a 23.
Ooh.
Wow.
Val with 13.
Hey.
This is great for her.
That's pretty good.
Guys, that's a higher one. Yeah.
Guys, that's like a pretty good initiative.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Wow. Yeah.
Double digits for everybody.
And we're going to need it.
So we're going to be doing this combat a little different, but also not different at the same time. You all have a broken skyship. You do not know how much crew you have at your disposal to aid in any of the repairs. And you know that you are about to be under a great amount of siege. Your goal is to survive for 3 rounds of combat. Additionally, do damage. This is essentially, I'm treating it as a super swarm, so it will share one batch of hit points. But I will also tell you that if you are not consistently doing enough damage, and I'm not going to tell you what this number is, I have it written down, if you do not do enough damage each turn, more will show up and join the fray, and things will get out of hand. You have a few moments. I'm going to say you have 2 rounds before the worms descend and come to you. Selv, do you have any buffs or anything you would like to do on your turn?
I don't really have too much in the way of buffing, so I am basically going to get ready with a most likely breath weapon when this stuff starts coming in.
Great.
I'm going to reach into the jet black raven pack that Checkers has been carrying since we left Deepwood and pull out the magical repeating crossbow with a scope on it. And Captain, catch! And throw Captain Livingstone's weapon at him.
Ah.
As a sign of trust and camaraderie. And hope he doesn't, I don't know, turn it on us, I guess.
He is emboldened by this. And he does a sick twirl, like gunslinger kind of style thing.
Great.
Thank you, Admiral Captain.
Kaskrin is, as a bonus action, going to kind of summon the armor around himself. And what this looks like is, instead of a comfortable polyester cocoon, it now looks like a metapod, kind of like stony, curved cocoon.
Uh-huh.
With just Kaskrin's face sticking out of it, and then the beard just like out and about. And then he returns to his normal size, asks Selv to drop him, and then summons his mighty steed. The burden, the seeker, come to me. And that is his turn.
Val will, with her aura vitality still up, as a bonus action, Val will heal Mango. Be like, oh my God, you're such a good boy. Thank you so much. Give him some little scritches.
This heals the Mango.
Yeah.
And then yell out of the engine room door, Joe's, Tim's, is anyone there? Do you need help?
Ooh, that's very interesting.
And then, you know what? As an action, it's dark down here. She'll cast light. So she has light to work by in hopes of getting this engine running and so that the Tims and Joes know where she is.
Captain Livingstone, kind of shrugging his shoulders, letting the magic course through his veins, twirling his sick repeating crossbow with a scope and a compass in the stock. It's like, all right, men, let's give him hell. And everyone who can see Captain Livingstone can take a 1d6 on their next d20 roll.
Nice.
Ooh. Cool. Ooh.
As he inspires you with his presence. End of the round. Val, you hear some groans coming from nearby and start to hear a couple of voices call out to you. Selv, anything?
Just preparing for whatever comes through this gaping hole in the ceiling.
Reasonable and good. Checkers.
So Val, next to you, Mango, his face, his brow, swollen and sticky with blood, picks himself off the ground and readies himself on shaking legs to stand in the doorway, protecting you from anything that comes in.
Oh,
he's very bloodied, but the healing helped him a lot. Checkers. Give him hell, Captain! As Checkers casts Haste on Captain Livingstone.
Ooh, okay.
Kaskarin does much the same thing as Checkers, knowing that two are better than one.
Yep, at this moment, both of the members of the Bones, the Seeker and the Burden, both arrive on deck and looking up, see what is in front of you.
They begin to move, and they are already supernaturally fast, but they suddenly become even faster as Kaskarin casts Twin Taste on both of them.
So the two of them do not have their kind of trademark long spears that you usually see members of the Bones go around with. But both of them reach down at their sides and reverse draw long, cruel-looking daggers. And they both slink into a very still position of readiness.
As a bonus action, Val will use her Aura Vitality to send healing energy again into the dome of the fire elemental. And then have any of the crew, are they near me or near Val at all?
Yeah, I'll say both of the Tims kind of like stagger in and kind of do the classic like where they have their shoulder against the doorway and the wall like, oh, ma'am, how can we help?
Tim, we have to get this fire elemental back up and running. And when she says the second Tim's name, she will grab their shoulder and cast Healing Word.
Ooh.
As an action. Wait, no. It's Cure Wounds is the action one.
Yes.
1d8 plus 4.
The captain, in his final act before combat begins, just lets out a ferocious growl and says, "Let's get to it then." And then all hell breaks loose. The first of the flyers of these horrific worms who have no wings yet coast effortlessly through the sky descend. Behind them, more of their brethren, and behind them, the arcane storm. In this moment, no matter where you are on the ship, one of these creatures is there. There are dozens across the ship. Val, you underneath see multiple start to slam into windows and portholes and through cracks in the wall that formed during the crash and are just trying to brute force their way in, no matter how bloodied or broken they get to do it. If they don't get in, the one behind them is determined to. Assume you are always within range. Assume there's always at least one. And remember, any damage you do, because they are a hive mind or some sort of connected swarm, which you established last session, you are doing damage to the greater whole. Selvastrilin, you get to act first.
I am going to spend 2 key points, and I am going to cast or use the ability Fangs of the Frost Wolf at 2nd level. So Self kind of like shakes his hands and then breathes a little bit of frost breath into his hand, creating like a slightly curved, looks like a fang almost made of ice. And then he takes it and throws it at the first of these worms that comes through the hole in the ceiling. That is a ranged spell attack. 22 to hit.
That nice. Is a success.
Dang.
That is 9 points of piercing damage.
Ow.
Nice.
Hit or miss, the shard then explodes.
Cool.
The target and each creature within 5 feet of it must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take an additional 2d6 cold damage. Actually, because I cast it at 2nd level, that is going to be 3d6 cold damage.
Nice.
What's the DC?
15.
That is a fail.
So that is 6, 10, 16 points of cold damage.
Ow. That's awesome.
And then I'm going to... Can you describe how the ship landed? Is it tilted? Is it right side up? You know, how are we looking here?
Do you have a preference, what you would like for this idea?
My preference would be that the ship is slightly on its side so that the cannons are, at least one side of the cannons, are pointed up at the hole and we can maybe shoot out that way.
Okay, even or odd?
Let's go with even.
That is a 6.
Cool.
There are indeed You guys are on your side enough to have some cannons pointing upward and potentially functional, depending on if you have the crew demand them.
Okay. And then I will kind of yell towards whichever crew is within shouting distance.
Port side cannons, prepare to fire.
Checkers, before you do anything.
Yes.
Again, these are things all around you now. When you encountered them, you felt something familiar. You all did. That feeling of anger, of fury, of rage that you have felt previously in an encounter with a different first one. And now that they're on the ship, now that they're close, and now that you're really engaging them in combat, you all feel a little something extra. Anyone, for the rest of this combat, who uses a melee attack has advantage. On all attacks.
Bal's ready. Whipping out some hand axes.
Mm-hmm. So you and your frog pals are feeling just that little bit of bloodlust. Again, not so much that your mind is affected, but you're seeing things a little clearly, a little crisper. You see those little, you know, chinks in the so-called armor, etc. What do you do?
So Mango's eyes sparkle a little bit as he feels that rage deep inside of him. He bounces around the engine room and just slams into creatures who are burrowing through the windows and the walls, just trying to keep them out as best he can. He's going to make a melee attack against them. That'll be a 25 to hit.
Dang, Mango.
That is a hit.
12 points of damage.
Dang, Mango.
Ow. And that is Checkers using a bonus action to command Mango. As Checker's action, he is going to begin swelling up like a balloon, and his mouth just grows and grows and grows until he goes and lets loose a beam of water into the sky against all of these flying worms. He's going to use a third level spell, Water Cannon. So what this does is the creatures have to make a strength saving throw or take 66 points of damage.
Ow.
So go ahead and give me that strength saving throw, DC 17.
That is a pass.
Lame. Okay, so they'll take half and are not pushed.
They are pretty beefy.
Okay. 13 points on the first water cannon. Checkers does a backflip. Backflip begins swelling with water. Action surge, water cannon.
Wow.
Is this like hydro pump?
Yeah. Give me another strength saving throw.
You got it.
Super soaker.
higher, unfortunately.
Okay, still another 13 points as Checkers just blasts water into the sky, trying to keep the flying worms off of him and Captain Livingstone. And that's my turn.
Now, enough of the swarm have descended that they're going to start to act. With advantage, the first attack... it's going to go against Kaskrin.
Okay.
You're big. You're beefy.
Yes.
Oof. That is 23 to hit.
That hits.
12 points of damage.
Okay. I take a little bit less.
Second is going to go against Selv Astralin, since you are a big beacon of shining glory.
I am.
Ooh, that's a bad roll. I assume a 12 does not hit.
It does not.
Excellent. All right. Kaskrin Brightmane.
Kaskrin did succeed on the concentration saving throw. He sees... again, this horde of worms kind of coming down from the hole in the sky, basically. And he is going to try and take the stalactites and stalagmites all around him and channel that destructive force towards these worms.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to cast the fifth level spell, Brutal Barrage.
Hell yeah. Hey.
While you do this, I forgot to do something. It was Mango who did a melee attack,
yes.
Correct? So Mango is engaging in these with these creatures in this kind of very pitched, intense, super like dirty, grungy, rage-filled combat.
Mm-hmm.
And he successfully just absolutely bashes into a bunch of them. As a reaction, they're going to make an attack against him because they are so frenzied that they're going to give it a shot. 23 to hit.
That hits.
11 points of piercing damage.
He just takes the slashes and the claws and the bites against his soft, fleshy frog skin, but continues to fight.
As we knew he would.
Castron's going to make the first attack against this hive mind. That is a very high number, 28 to hit.
Yeah, oh, big time.
10 points of bludgeoning damage, and all the subsequent attacks will have advantage. 13 to hit. Misses.
That is a miss.
22 to hit.
Hit.
24 to hit.
Hit.
And 27 to hit.
Hit. Sheesh.
So that's going to be 3 hits for 3d12 damage.
Damn.
That is 27 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ow.
As just chunks of these stalactites break off from the roof of this cavern system and begin to, like, rocket in towards the middle of this horde of worms, piercing a large number of them.
You hear more and more just cries of pain come out all around you as Kaskarin just is spearing them up above.
And that's my turn.
It is another batch of swarm turn. We are going to have one go against Valeska Carter.
No.
Though I guess, are you, how, no, you're out and about.
What? I'm in the engine room.
I mean, out and about. And I was about to ask, you're not in the coals, are you?
I know, no. Mango pulled me out into his loving arms.
Ooh, that is a 22 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
9 points of piercing damage.
Okay. As a reaction, I will be doing something once I put note that I took 9 points of damage.
Okay.
I will cast Hellish Rebuke.
Oh!
I need them to make a dexterity saving throw.
What's the dex save?
15.
Meets it exactly.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately.
13 points halved.
Ooh.
Wow.
Val just turns, looks directly at it, and says, I feel your anger, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Your compassion in the face of blind rage causes it to burst into flames. And turn to ash on the ground. I'm going to do another attack. We're going to say probably against... we'll do another salve attack.
Okay.
That is a 20 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay. 16 points of piercing.
Oh! That's no good. No good.
Valeska Carter, it's your turn.
Val, in trying to balance everything that is happening, will use her bonus action Aura of Vitality to throw as much healing as she can to the fire elemental, knowing that we do have to get out of here, even if the worms continue on. And as her action, she feels that rage within her as being within the worms' area,
mm-hmm.
and taps into that anger. These translucent blue tendrils shoot out of the ground and just grab as many of the worms as they can. I'll need them to make a strength saving throw, DC 15.
Okay, and this is an AoE, right, I assume?
Yes. Each creature in the area must make a saving throw.
That's a save.
Boom.
I've been rolling really good, specifically on my strength saves.
Yeah, I imagine.
Beef boys.
Okay, they still take half damage.
Okay, what do we got?
6 points of damage.
Okay. Anything else?
Val will look at both of the Tims and say, Tims, Tim, I believe in you. You are the ship's engineers. This is your moment. You have worked tirelessly to keep this ship running for years. You can do this now. You can get this ship back on its feet.
They both look at you and they nod. They look at each other and they nod. And then they step further into the room around the guts, the crushed worm that Mango has created at the entrance of this door. All right. You do like magic stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's a manual around here. One second. And one like starts immediately just like cranking as many levers and turning big wheels and that kind of stuff. And another one seems to almost dive underneath a counter, basically, that has some drawers and storage, and you see just like papers and old relics and who knows what go flying as this Tim starts looking through stuff. And I'm going to say that for this round will count as one of your guys' collective character actions to move forward the repair of the ship.
Yay.
Nice.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
It is the swarm's turn again. We're going to go one to Valeska.
Ooh. The bones are still up there, just as an Captain Livingstone. I'm just saying.
That is true. They just haven't acted yet.
That's fair.
That is a 21 to hit. 13 points of piercing damage.
Shit.
And I will indeed have him go against Captain Livingstone. I think that's a good idea. They miss.
Yeah, he's too intimidating.
I rolled a 1 and a 5.
There's no breeze, yet his hair is billowing behind him.
It's really, he's spent the last 2 turns aura farming.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone's like, I don't like the vibe of that. Yeah, I'm going to go to these 9th level adventurers instead. They seem a little less risky and tastier.
Correct.
Well, that worked out, I guess, in a lot of ways. And now it is indeed the captain's turn. He is going to take 2 attacks. He has, of course, a big scimitar that he wields around that he's going to take 1 slash. Hits. He does 13 points of damage.
Nice.
And then he is going to fire with his repeating crossbow with a scope and a compass in the stock. Also hits.
Hey.
So I think he did a total 24 damage.
Yeah. Jesus. Did he use his hasted action?
He's going to, yes, do another attack.
Great. Wow.
With advantage, because he's going to melee attack again. And that hits exactly.
Yeah.
And he says, "This one's for you, Admiral Captain," as he wheels around, spins again. So he did. Holy shit. I really wish that I'd gotten to use him in a combat against you guys.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool. But alas.
Nope. Now he's our best bud.
I give you inspiration, Jonathan, for giving him his crossbow back.
Yeah, holy fuck. He just did 37 points of
nice.
Damage.
Holy shit. Wow.
I'm just going to erase this 5th level spell off my character.
I'm sorry, guys. Turns out I accidentally made him too good.
Too cool.
Too cool. And speaking of very cool, now the members of the Bones are going to start doing stuff. So I'm just going to roll. I'm just going to roll 2 d20s. They're hasted, though, too, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
And the melee is at advantage.
They're doing flat damage.
Yeah. Seems good.
But they are going to do, because they are hasted, they're going to do automatic damage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying, because you did that, they are now, like, too efficient in
cool.
battle
yeah,
to
right.
not be just, right. like, taking names. So on average, I'm going to say, actually, I'm just going to roll 46 every turn. That's not enough, actually.
The bones are too cool. They need to do more.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. Yeah. Like, they can't just be doing, like, 16 points of damage with both hasted, both, like, all that other stuff. God, that's another 23 points of damage.
The bones!
Yeah! The bones! The goal is really to make Nathan roll as many dice as possible. Uh-huh. I will stand in front of that fireball, please and thank you.
Okay. I'm going to roll a couple more dice because they have one more reaction. Actually, they will take some chomps out of the captain. And as their reaction, their final reaction, that is 220s.
Holy shit.
On the die.
To hit Captain Livingstone?
To hit
as
Captain
a reaction
Livingstone.
For his melee attack, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, geez, okay. As a reaction to their reaction.
Yeah. Oh.
Uh-huh. As the worm goes in to critically strike Captain Livingstone while he has his back turned.
He's not used to going so fast. Like, he's very cool, but this is a different level.
A series of colorful kites with bells attached to them fly out in all directions, and one just intercepts the big strike coming in and redirects it to another worm, causing them to crash into each other.
In reaction to your reaction.
Do I need to roll anything, or just damage just transfers?
Damage transfers, and that critical strike is looking real juicy.
Yes, it is. This is 46 that I am rolling. 19 points of damage has been redirected.
And Checkers and Captain Livingstone are just back-to-back crossbows and stones flying out at all in all directions.
Kites and puffy frogs on one side.
I think you did more damage to them than we have.
Yeah.
I'm doing.
Stop hitting yourself, Nathan.
Yeah.
It's just so much math. End of the round is the crew movement. So for the Tims that are helping Val, one of them emerges with this huge tome with on the cover is it is just like a three-ring bound but leather like binder, basically.
So and, you want to build a sky ship?
And it is the Fire Elemental Operations Manual. And on the front is a very obvious, if, you know, kind of like maybe over-accentuated Fire Elemental on it.
You know, you realize that spells out fume. The Fire Elemental Operations Manual.
Yeah.
Fume.
I'm great. I'm the best GM.
That was well thought out and prepared beforehand.
I planned that out. Thank you. And the Tim was just like, does this help?
Yes, absolutely.
And he scrambles over to you. Selv, you gave a missive to go over to the guns.
Correct.
To whoever was down there. No guns are firing yet.
Well, I know they take a little bit of a warm-up.
So that's what you know at this point. Top of the order. A character action. Who would like to do something in the narrative to expedite the process?
Val.
Val would like to read a book. Val would like to use her expert library knowledge to look at the table of contents, find the emergency operations procedures, navigate to that page in this tome, and read through the appropriate operation manuals.
Thank you for summoning the F-157 Fire Elemental.
Yes. Okay. Give me... I had pitched this originally as no rolls kind of situation, but this is too Valeska Carter-y, and I need you to roll me 2d20s. You roll with advantage.
Okay.
Maybe a history or a library check. I can't remember.
Please know my background is like sage researcher. Bookworm is my patron.
Believe me, I am taking a lot of this into account, and that you can read this book. I just want to witness how truly like efficient you are in this moment.
That's a natural 20. Val will never fail a library.
Her job is library.
What of these pages is already folded down? Oh, look.
You read every page simultaneously. Yeah. It is actually this is probably one of the you've had the bookworm as a patron for a little while, so I'm sure you've probably already been testing some things. But this is certainly the first time that you know this is a language you cannot speak. In fact, it is a combination of multiple languages that I think you can maybe speak some of it, but you could never do it at this speed before without this extra power, because it is a combination of maker speak, of a very specific kind of elemental dialect, and it is also several different parts of different magical languages that are all woven in. And as you flip through, you can actually see that multiple people must have had to write this, because one segment is clearly written in one language and then someone is writing over top of that writing in different ink, forming new different patterns and words of arcana. And each page has 3 to 5 different levels of different colors and markings and notes and that sort of thing, but you immediately are able to grasp what it is saying and you are starting to consume it. We will address exactly what it is that you consume when it gets to your turn and you can act appropriately, but you have immediately ingested everything. Like,
Val's
you get it.
Eyes glow brighter than they ever have before.
I mean, but yes,
absorbing
canonically that would literally be what happens. So yes, 1,000,000%. Top of the order. A few things are going to happen. First, everyone's clothes falls off.
What?
Nice. Hey. I like this kind of D&D. This is good.
We should do more of this.
I was waiting for this the whole time, for years, Nathan.
And now you're telling me we could have had such a different campaign. All of you, no matter how you're oriented or whatever, suddenly realize a couple things. First and foremost, you are wearing your adventuring clothes once more. But also, all of your favorite clothes are now in a pile at your feet. Just, they have fallen off, like sloughed off, but just in a loose pile of clothes at your feet.
So we still have them.
You still have them.
Hell yeah.
They still exist.
All right.
It's just, for some reason, they've fallen off. Like, that was the, like, metaphysical arcane effect, was it's not that they disappeared, not that they, oh, it was actually your armor the whole time. No, it like, they just fell off for some reason, because that's just how magic works sometimes, unfortunately. Now most of the effects have gone away, except the ground is indeed still grass.
Not great for a top deck of a ship.
Not ideal, but you'll figure that out when you figure it out. And the ice on the mast is starting to melt. Captain Livingstone roars out above the din, still standing pretty close to the helm, and leans over into his communication device and says, "Engine room! Engine room! Status!"
Can I say Val is too busy reading this book and the Tims take care of comms?
You all hear an awkward pause of several seconds. And one of the voices of the Tims comes on. I guess I got to decide on a canonical Tim and Joe voice.
I've never seen anything like it, sir.
I've done a couple weird voices for them. The Tims sound like Nathan.
Captain, Val is reading, well, you know that manual that we can't read about the fire mantras? Standby. Positive developments.
Captain Livingstone, like, squints almost angrily at how shitty this report is.
It's like, I taught you better.
He's like, copy. Everyone, hold on a little longer, and we'll all get out of here. Selvasterlin, you look around the battlefield. You are still a shining beacon of light, of hope. But you and anyone else who's looking can see you guys have done enough this first round so that the swarm levels are roughly equal. Probably a little lighter, maybe, even, because you wailed on them so much. But things have not gotten worse. They've just stayed roughly the same bad, which is, in fact, a pretty big win. What would you like to do?
I did this thing last time that seemed to work pretty well. I might try that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, once again, cast Fang of the Frost Wolf at second level, and I will attempt to hit the swarm with it. So that is a 22 to hit.
Big time hit.
Only 4 points this time. However, so that will be a dexterity saving throw.
Pass.
DC 15. Okay.
Roll a 17.
Gotcha. So 13 points cut in half for six for the explosion.
Awesome. You see another big ice puff up in the sky as another few of them squeal in pain.
Take that.
And then I will spend a third key point to go into patient defense.
Okay.
Which will give them disadvantage when attacking me.
Perfect.
And then that will end my turn.
So this engine room is getting really cramped. No. We've got the Tims running around pulling different levers. We've got Val furiously reading this strange mystical tome, and worms are crashing in from all directions. Checkers is going to give up his action to allow Mango to crush the head of one of these worms underneath his bloody foot.
I like the idea that Mango is like becoming like he is getting levels in Ranger and his favorite enemy.
Yeah.
His first ones.
Mango, yes. Mango Worm Crusher.
Yeah. So he'll have advantage on his melee attack.
Yes.
24 to hit.
Big hit.
9 points of damage.
They're going to take the reaction.
Dang.
And
all
do
right.
a bite okay. upon the boy. That's a 20 to hit.
Hits.
Just 8 points of piercing damage.
Unfortunately.
No!
Hits the dang it.
That is enough.
Nathan, why would you do this?
The worm bites back, and both the frog and the worm just melt into a pile of goo and mud as Mango has taken enough damage to disappear.
So wait, Mango is like, you can summon him back? Is
yeah,
that-
yeah.
Okay. I was like, can I put hit points into that pile of goo?
You just are like doing, you know, chest compressions in this puddle of what once was
clear.
Yeah. But he will not be helpful the rest of this combat.
Mango, no!
Checkers and Captain Livingstone are back to back, and these worms are closing in on them. Checkers is feeling really dry after just launching two water cannons. Yeah. He's like all shriveled up and just like, he's definitely, he's coughed a little bit. He's got to rehydrate. As a bonus action, I'm going to cast Sanctuary on myself to envelop myself in a big old bubble of water and make it more difficult for any of these first ones to hit me.
Ooh, okay.
And then I'm just going to look up at the sky, put one finger underneath my eyelid and go, and taunt the first ones and end my turn.
Okay, one of them is going to, is a swarm turn. One attack is going to go against Selvastrolin, who again is a beacon of hope, etc., but they're going to take your disadvantage with their advantage.
Correct.
And yada yada. Regular dice roll. That is a miss.
Nice.
Woohoo! Thanks indeed to your patient defense. And let's say, okay. I mean, it has to go against Checkers. Who am I kidding?
Yeah.
And that is
DC 17, wisdom saving throw.
Big fail.
Ha ha! Blah.
Kaskrin Brightmane.
Kaskrin is surprised at the very comfortable mummy sleeping bag at his feet and realizes that he has donned his regular clothes. He had originally formed his armor around him so he looked like a giant metapod, which he thought was really cool at the time, but now it's not working for him at all because it just doesn't work anymore.
And there's, no places for legs to go out or anything like that.
So he has punched his arms and punched his legs out the sides of this thing so he looks like a giant banana.
That's what I had imagined, yep.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
And he is going to telekinetically grab a stalagmite that has broken off in our crash and cast Catapult as a fourth level spell, rocketing it up into this swarm of worms. That is going to be a dexterity saving throw.
Fail.
All right, they are going to take 6d8 damage.
Holy wow. Fourth level spells.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be 34 points of bludgeoning damage from this fourth level catapult.
Ow.
As a bonus action, because I have cast a spell, I am going to make a single melee attack. And what that looks like is Kaskrin is just going to big arm charge at one of these worms and try to grapple him. So he just runs across the deck and tries to smash these worms into the wall. That is a 20 to hit.
That is a hit.
13 points of damage.
As you squash a worm.
As I squash a worm against the railing of this ship. And that is my turn.
As a reaction, it's going to try to attack you.
Okay.
It's a 20-something to hit.
That hits.
13 points of piercing damage.
Okay, I'm going to take a little bit less, but I still take the damage.
And now it is...
Concentration check.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I succeed.
Thank goodness.
And now it is Swarm's turn.
Yeah.
One of them is going to attack Gaskin Brightman. That is a 19 to hit.
Okay, still hits.
12 points of piercing.
All right, still take a little less, but ouch. Ouchie woo.
Unfortunately, I think... dramatically, it makes the most sense. For now that there is no longer a large boy blocking the doorway underneath, one is going to make an attack against... Well, actually, what I'll say, Val, in this moment, a trio of them burst into the room. Maybe they have made their way from the other parts of the ship and now are going through the door. Maybe they have finally busted through the wall of the ship and now are pouring in. You are reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you understand it. You are close to a breakthrough. In this moment, I'm giving you an extra decision.
Yes.
You are in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself and two Tims. Who gets attacked?
Val will get attacked because she is not defending herself, so focused on reading this book.
You know what? Seems reasonable.
Fair. The Tims are running around doing stuff. Val's reading a book.
Asked and answered. Fair enough. Oh, I rolled so bad.
Oh.
Please describe what happens as somehow they miss this absolutely defenseless librarian deep in her element. What happens?
As they rush toward Val reading her book, the aura of vitality still swirling around here. They just feel such positive love and...
just affirmations.
Just, affirmations. Coming from this aura of vitality that it stops them. They're actually, no.
You are a good worm.
Yeah.
People like you. You are capable.
And hear you.
Valeska Carter, I would like you to roll another advantaged D20 roll with... did you use history last time? Or what is your librarian stat?
I rolled a nat 20 and we didn't put
that. That's true. I'm going to say that because of your nat 20, some interesting things are going to happen.
Okay.
In this moment, you are reading a manual that has not been accurately read in at least a century plus. This is a genuinely major find as a historian, as someone who's curious about the past, and certainly as a librarian. You see this perfect clarity, and you unlock something in your mind and in your heart. You have a new skill.
Ooh.
Which is library.
Library. Great.
You can take your intelligence modifier and add double your proficiency bonus in all library checks moving forward. The other thing that happens is you understand what you need to do. But it's a question of, do you have the capability to do it well or do it perfectly? I would like you to roll 2d20 and add your new library bonus to what you get.
26.
You do it perfectly. There are several outcomes to this. Because you have crushed the library so hard.
It really pays. Listeners, put your character into one thing, make their job one thing, and keep doing that one
and
thing.
Hammer it.
I want my job to be beach.
Take extra levels in that one thing, and it might pay off like it's about to. So again, there are layers to what could have happened. But what does happen? First and most pressingly, you understand what you need to do to not just reignite this engine, but to restore this elemental. As you recall, this elemental was not super engaged with the world around it, shall we say. It was kind of like lifeless. And you think you can not just bring it back, but bring it back better. Also, the way to do it is by casting your newly acquired fourth level spell, Conjure Minor Elementals.
What?
Wow.
Cool.
Which is now always prepared for you. So, I'm glad you did not cast Banishment on yourself.
I use my fourth level spell.
If you would like to, use your turn to cast a fourth level spell, Conjure Minor Elementals. We end this combat right here.
Val closes the book, her eyes still glowing, and she'll walk over to the dome, tuck the book under her arm, and place both hands on the dome, and even lean forward so her forehead is also touching it. And the Tims see the aura of vitality shift and swirl, and it changes from this translucent blue light into this orange-red haze. But then you can see Val straining, and the haze and smoke burns a bit brighter and starts to work its way in like a swirling pattern into this dome, and the fog inside starts to be replaced by this. As Val takes a step back, it all happens kind of at once. She takes a step back and this bright glow emits from the dome, and instead of this fog is this like fiery inferno swirling inside of it.
as you are all blasted by this heat in the engine room, in a voice that only you can understand from inside of this glass chamber, the elemental speaks for the first time and says,
"A new pact is formed. Command me as you will."
Val has like a little moment of panic and like excitement. It's like, help us get out of here.
Wordlessly, the temperature skyrockets. The handful of worms that were in the engine room, anything close is incinerated. And most of the rest are driven back. Those of you who are up on the deck are still swinging away, fighting as heroes do. Checkers, you feel somewhere below that Mango has fallen.
Mm-hmm. And there's just this pang of fear that Mango was one of the only things standing between the swarm of worms and Valeska and Tim's trying to get us off the ground. And there's just this moment where Checkers feels like we might not get out of here.
When you all hear an inferno, the ship starts scraping along the ground, and you all realize what's happening. You can see a huge bright light emitting from the back of the ship that usually is not nearly that bright. The captain goes over to the helm, realizing what's happening, and starts heaving against the wheel. The nose of the ship starts lifting. And as soon as the scraping stops, signifying you are fully up in the air, the ship starts accelerating quickly. More and more of these worms fly past you, many probably splattering against the front of the ship. And the captain points the nose up through the hole you all fell down. And just as the storm starts to enter into the cavern, you slip through. And after a few turbulent seconds filled with lightning and mystery and strangeness, you emerge on the other side, hurtling away from doom and back to your destination. And that is where we'll end this week's episode. See you all next time.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay! Keep reading, kids.
Worst case scenario, hear me out on this. We get some of the enchanted planks from the downed airship. We attach little sails, and we basically surf our way.
Yeah, like a windsurfing.
Windsurf, yes, thank you. Yeah. Windsurf our way.
Things to think about.
You might have to end up distracting them the original, like the way you thought you were going to.
I'm still glowing.
Yeah, you might have to end up doing that.
Yeah.
And then,
Great. You mean while the rest of you are there, I have to lead off the monsters?
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
It's a good thing I have experience doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
In the middle of an arcane storm.
Right.
So it's, history just repeats itself.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're going down anyway. It's a perfect direction.